G'day, and thank you for downloading Right Country, Right Fire, our podcast about how Indigenous people use fire to care for country.
My grandfather is George Musgrave Sr. and Tommy George Sr. They started this off a few years ago, trying to help everybody out to go back to traditional burning and keep their land back the way it used to be.
Putting the right fire into the right environment at the right time of the year so the land can revive itself like a medicine for earth.
Everyone involved here, you know, they all feel that same strength, and that all comes from the country and what we need to do to make it healthy again.
This is episode 6 of Right Country, Right Fire. You can find all our episodes wherever you get your podcasts or go to capeyorknrm.com.au. Indigenous people have used fire to care for country for tens of thousands of years. The right kind of fire, in the right place, at the right time, encourages species that belong, reduces ones that don't, helps prevent wildfires. The good fire keeps things balanced and healthy. It's a practice based on ancient knowledge and culture. But contemporary science agrees. As the revival of cultural burning spreads, scientists and contemporary land managers are increasingly interested. Now, of course, science and traditional knowledge, they're very different ways of knowing. So it's crucial that scientists and academics learn to work appropriately and respectfully with Indigenous people. This is a central part of the story of the revival of cultural burning that began on Cape York Peninsula in the 90s and noughties. Two Kuku Taipan elders, Dr. George and Dr. Musgrave, were determined to take care of their country as their culture required. They found a young researcher who would become their student and their ally.
Hi, my name is Peter Stanley. I'm the operations manager for Cape York NRM, and I've been in that position for the last 7 years. But before that, I was working with the Old People Invictus since 2003. At that stage, I was working in tenure resolution for QPWS, and they'd asked me to come and help them with their fire research project. And so it took us a little while to get support for that. We worked and got some funding from overseas to help support me to work alongside them and do a doctoral thesis. But we had some challenges with being able to enable me to do that, so I ended up leaving Parks and Wildlife and then went and worked for those Old People in Victor. Been working with them ever since, so I think we're going on something like 13 years or something now. So it's been a real honour to have been put into that position, but also now I'm almost finished the dissertation, so by next year I'll be a doctor. Part of our research methodology was to make sure that those old people were acknowledged up front. So we worked again for about a year and a bit, working with all the professors and researchers that had worked with those old people over the years and got their doctorates as a result of that, and getting them to write letters of support. And in 2005, to embark upon the research project in the right way, they were awarded honorary doctorates by James Cook University.
Hence their Dr. George, Dr. Musgrave.
Yes. So they were that enabled them to be listed as co-researchers on the thesis, and it allowed us to be able to start to demonstrate an appropriate way to research with Indigenous people and with Indigenous people's knowledge systems.
That's a really cutting-edge thing in Australia, because there is traditional or Indigenous or old knowledge, and there's the modern scientific method and the tertiary education method and all of that. Putting all that together, I imagine it keeps you awake at nights, but it must be satisfying.
Yeah, I think, you know, at first, being an enthusiastic young scientist, I had expectations that I would set up all these quadrats and measure very definitively this burning that they were going to show me. And it became pretty obvious pretty quickly that that wasn't what they were trying to get me to do. So we were managing something like 64,000 hectares. And so to be able to set up a research plot, just little old me, was pretty difficult. So we didn't have many resources. So we started with an old Hilux, no winch, no first aid kit. Let's just say that I didn't fill out fieldwork forms to leave to go and work. But, you know, through those experiences, they taught me to be a better driver. They taught me to be a better navigator. But most importantly, over time, and they could see that I was there to help and that I wasn't there to take knowledge. But they were also teaching me how to research appropriately. So I'd ask questions, you know, and I wouldn't get answers straight away. And I think that's really important that, you know, sometimes people think, or, you know, Western systems kind of think, oh, I ask a question and I get an answer, and if I ask a question and I don't get an answer, then that person doesn't know anything. And what they were trying to teach me was that I had to earn that knowledge, and I had to demonstrate that I had the respect to actually receive that knowledge. And sometimes, because we'd be at a certain place and I'd ask a question one time and then it'd take us a while to get back there, I mightn't get that answer then until I'd gone back to that place. And they'd say to me, hey, girl, you remember you asked me that question? Like, and then I'd start to get those answers. And, you know, things like lore stories that are a map of the land. And the old fella would start to tell me these stories and I'd run off to get my notebook and come back and he'd just pretend he wasn't even talking about it. And so pretty soon I learnt that I had to remember those stories, that that was something that he was testing me each time if I was remembering. And, you know, but over time, all of that knowledge was able to be shared, and I've documented that. And in the thesis dissertation, there's three methodologies. So there's Victor's methodology about his work with the old people starting going out on country and seeing that country sick, because they were recording the knowledge by practically demonstrating it and sharing it with the young people. And so what would happen, you know, when they were out on country is that they couldn't find sites because they were overgrown or they'd been damaged, or their cultural resources had been damaged by fires that were too hot. And so they asked me to come along and help them with their fire research. And part of that was making sure they were always up front and making sure that, you know, they could get that recognition that they deserved. And slowly, you know, also these workshops. So in 2008, we had some of the Lockhart guys come down and we were on country sharing that knowledge. And the old fella said, old Dr. George said, we got to do this every year. And so from that, then he'd give us instructions every year about where a good place to have it would be and who should be there and who should be involved. And we'd set about organising them. And, you know, every year they've grown from those 30 people. And now here we are in New South Wales, first time out of Cape York, with 270 people on Yuin country. And it's really an amazing thing to see the power in that and the empowerment of Indigenous people into, you know, this space, because it's such a hard space to get into. Like, Western knowledge systems, and to show what they know, because so often the dominant knowledge system is saying, well, this is how you should burn and this is how you should burn. And, you know, they haven't had that space or opportunity to actually demonstrate their knowledge. And so that's what these workshops are about, you know, for people to come and experience Indigenous people actually showing their knowledge and leading their knowledge and the research in that as well. While they're out on country practicing their knowledge and doing their cultural practice, they're able to research and see those things, those indicators that are so important to them coming back. And so it's really been, you know, an incredible journey. But for me, like, now being able to get out of a plane in Canberra and sit on a bus and read country all the way through to here is my gift that they've given to me as a result of all of the work and hard work over the many years. So for the first few years, I wasn't allowed to talk, really. Obviously, I didn't get have a lot of knowledge in the first few years either. And it wasn't until the fourth year that the old fella said to me, "You go, girl, you're right now." So then I could start to go and present at conferences and really start to try and help other people understand and how to engage appropriately. And I'm still doing that now at these workshops. So I still deliver the indicators and monitoring workshop and build capacity as well, and sort of showing and sharing the way in which Western science tools can be used to by Indigenous people to and training them in that so that they can use those tools and actually record their indicators and present them. And that's how it should happen. You can't pick up knowledge and just read it from a book. You have to be in the landscape, and that's what these workshops are all about. So it's a real privilege for me to be able to, you know, journey with Cape York people down here and, you know, wet tropics mobs and Gulf mobs that I've worked with over the years as well, and see them empowered as well by coming down and seeing how agencies work down here as well. So there's lots of sharing and learning going on, and it's just wonderful to be a part of it.
And we spoke with some of those Cape York fellas, the descendants of those two old blokes.
Yeah, it's sort of one of those things, you know, I have that obligation still. Like, I still help them to try and get funding and to try and get things going on their country. And, you know, they're like my family. You know, my sons have language names and are treated as part of their family. And, you know, that's a real privilege for me, and there's a great deal of respect between us, so yes.
Peter Stanley, the operations manager at Cape York Natural Resource Management. Peter's worked on the Traditional Knowledge Revival Pathways Kuku Taipan Fire Management Research Project since 2004, and Peter is working towards her PhD on the importance of campfires with James Cook University. You can meet Peter and many others involved in traditional fire practice at the next National Indigenous Fire Workshop. It's in the first week of June near Barmer on the New South Wales-Victorian border, hosted by the Yorta Yorta people. Go to firesticks.org.au for details and bookings. Right Country, Right Fire is a podcast by Firesticks Alliance Indigenous Corporation, Moolong, and the Importance of Campfires, supported by Cape York Natural Resource Management. You can find all our episodes wherever you get your podcasts, and you can find us at firesticks.org.au and capeyorknrm.com.au. I'm Richard Dinnan. Catch you next time on Right Country, Right Fire.